Middle East and Africa.
Zimbabwe's farms. Whose land? Despite a recent power-sharing deal, white-owned farms are still being taken.
Robert Mugabe was in a festive mood as he celebrated his 85th birthday on February 21st in a small town north of Harare, Zimbabwe's capital. Land distribution will continue, he told his 2,000 or so partying guests. The few remaining white farmers should quickly vacate their farms, as they have no place there. I am still in control and hold executive authority. Zimbabwe's president seemed to have forgotten his recent power-sharing deal with Morgan Tsvangirai and his Movement for Democratic Change, the MDC, which included an agreement to end the seizure of white-owned farms. Of the 5,600-odd white commercial farmers in Zimbabwe when Mr. Mugabe came to power in 1980, barely 250 are still on their land. Output has slumped. 7 million people, in a resident population of perhaps no more than 9 million, now rely on food aid to survive. Yet in the past month, 75 white farms are reported to have been occupied or threatened with invasion, often with police connivance. And prosecutions against 140 white farmers are being hurried through the courts to force them to comply immediately with eviction notices served in defiance of a landmark ruling by an African regional court in November. This sudden upsurge in farm seizures suggests that Mr. Mugabe's ZANU-PF is determined to settle the land issue to its own liking before Mr. Tsvangirai's people can stop them. When the MDC was set up in 1999, many of Zimbabwe's white farmers backed the party. Though Mr. Tsvangirai wants land redistributed, he says it must be done fairly and by law. In his inaugural address to Parliament this week, he called for a halt to the wanton disruptions of productive farming. Those who believe they can move on to a viable farm and steal the crops are wrong. In a case brought by 78 white farmers last year, a tribunal of the Southern African Development Community, SADC, a 15-country group, held Mr. Mugabe's land reform program to be illegal, since it violated an SADC treaty requiring respect for civil rights and the rule of law, and was racially discriminatory in targeting only white farmers. The tribunal said it might have reached a different conclusion had the spoils of expropriation not been awarded mostly to ZANU-PF people. Didymus Mutasa, the minister then responsible for distributing the land, retorted that the judges must be daydreaming if they thought Zimbabwe, a signatory to the SADC court, would heed the ruling. Several of the 78 farmers told by the judges that they could keep their farms are among those now facing imminent eviction. Western donors have made respect for property rights, as well as for other human rights, a precondition for resuming development aid. This week, in a rare gesture of conciliation, a prominent human rights campaigner, Justino Mokoko, was freed on bail after nearly 3 months in prison, along with some 16 others, out of 40 whose release the MDC had specifically demanded. Roy Bennett, a dispossessed white farmer, whom the MDC had named as Deputy Agriculture Minister in the new government, is also expected to be released on bail. He had been arrested on an array of charges, including insurgency, on his return from exile to Zimbabwe on the day the government was sworn in. But over the land seizures, Mr. Mugabe seems loath to back down. Few dispute that land redistribution was sorely needed. In 1980, the 5,600 white farmers owned 15.5 million hectares of land, most of it good, at an average of nearly 3,000 hectares each, including cattle and game ranches and some vast, often foreign-owned estates. At the same time, 780,000 black smallholders subsisted on 16.4 million hectares of generally poorer communal land. Often less than 5 hectares in size, these smallholdings lacked title deeds and thus could not be used as collateral for loans. According to Justice for Agriculture, a mainly white farmers' lobby, by 1995, whites still had 10.9 million hectares. The British government says it stopped subsidizing resettlement schemes at that point because the land was being dished out corruptly. Sam Moyo, head of the African Institute for Agrarian Studies in Harare, maintains that Zimbabwe's land redistribution has been broad-based and largely egalitarian. It is untrue, he says, that most of the land taken since 2000, when the seizures began, went to Mr. Mugabe's relatives, friends, and other ZANU-PF faithful. More than two-thirds, he says, was allocated to 140,000 poor families, most getting around 20 hectares. He concedes that 30% of the redistributed land, consisting of bigger and better farms, was handed out to 15,500 officers in the army and security services, judges, ministers, members of parliament, civil servants, and so on. The professor blames drought, lack of affordable seed and fertilizer, price controls, and a dearth of credit for the disastrous results of the confiscations, although he also admits that many of the new black owners lacked farming skills. Whatever the truth is, the upshot is that vast tracts of once productive land now lie idle. Moreover, more than 200,000 experienced black farm workers and their families, well over 1 million people, have lost their livelihoods and homes, along with their dispossessed white masters. In this week's address to Parliament, Mr. Tsvangirai repeated a promise to audit all the land, to ascertain who owns what, to eliminate multiple ownerships, and to ensure security of tenure for all farmers, black and white. He also sought help from abroad to compensate former, nearly all-white farmers whose land had been seized and to provide much-needed support for new farmers. But the MDC accepts that it cannot restore the seized land to its former owners. Most have gone. Even under an MDC government, it is doubtful many would come back. It will be many years before Zimbabwe's farms, whoever owns them, will prosper again.